This morning we are going to continue our series through this wonderful book of 1 Peter. So if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. And, we all need the Lord's strength, don't we? And when you feel like you don't have any strength to continue, that's a good thing, because the Lord is reminding you and I that we need Him. We need someone greater than ourselves, which is the Lord. And despite what those who specialize in the self-improvement industry say, we do not have the power within. Okay, there's nothing to unleash within except a brokenness and humility in our need for God. And when we realize it's the Lord we need, then we can be walking in victory, amen? And we can enjoy the victorious Christian life. Now keep in mind, those in the book of 1 Peter, those that Peter was writing to, were Christians that were going through horrific trials and persecution. So for us in our day, anything we go through, we can certainly get some help from this book. We will face trials, we will face persecution, we will face difficulties, some of them greater than we ever have faced before. But remember, this book is written to Christians facing difficulties. And it's all about living victoriously, living the Christian life victoriously. That obviously means that our circumstances shouldn't bring us down as Christians. That we can live above our circumstances by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's exciting. I'm thankful for the supernatural Christian life, and that we can learn more and more what it really means to have victory on a day-to-day basis. And 1 Peter speaks about a lot of different areas. This morning we're going to look at being strong in life. Being strong in life. Look with me at these verses. 1 Peter chapter 3. I didn't have room to include all of the verses, so you'll be helped by looking in your Bibles this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look with me at verses 8 to 12. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So here Peter is writing to Christians, and he's now challenging them about their relationships with one another. Notice what he says in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, let's pray, and we'll look at more of this subject of being strong in life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are right there for us to dig out, to put down into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you promise as we follow you, you will bless. Thank you, Lord, that it's very simple. Help us, dear God, just to say yes to you, and help us with areas of our lives this morning that you'll tell us about. Lord, help us to say yes. Help us to have faith. And help us, Lord, to love the life that you desire us to have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now notice that statement there in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days. Now how many of you this morning would say, yes, Pastor, I want to love life. I want to see good days. How many of you are like that this morning? Well, all of us, no doubt. And we all want to love the life God has given us. And we certainly want to see good days. Now, if you asked people on the street today what a definition of life is, I'm sure you'll get a lot of different responses. If you walked around and you said, let me ask you, what do you think life is? It all depends on what life means to that person. But let me give you a very simple definition this morning, which is this. Life is simply a number of days added together. That's what a life is. At the end of our lives, what you and I will find is simply the conclusion of day by day choices added up that results in a life. So it's quite simple, isn't it? A day by day choice, a day by day decision. And every day we have the opportunity to have a good day. Has anyone ever told you, or maybe someone has said it already today, hope you have a good day. Have a good day. Have you ever been told that by someone and your day didn't work out so well? You know, that happens too. And we all want to see good days, don't we? We all want to also love life. And as Christians, there is a secret to having a good day and loving life. And it's right here in the Word of God. And it's simply summed up by this: following what the Lord has said. Following what the Lord has said. If we want to enjoy the life God has given us, if we want to see good days, we simply need to say, "Yes, Lord, help me, Lord, to put this down into my life. Help me, Lord, to follow your words." You see, there are some Christians that simply live life. They just go through their days and just go through the motions, and they are just living. They are just existing. Then there are other Christians that not only live life, but also love life. You see, there's a difference. Living life is just existing. But loving life is more than existing. It is enjoying. And the Christian life is given to us to enjoy, isn't it? You can say amen. At least we desire that. God doesn't want us just as Christians to live life. That's what we did before we were saved. God wants us now to love life. He wants us to enjoy the riches and the beauty and the grace of the Christian life. And yet so often we fall so short of that. We just exist. And that's not for the Christian. Now, as I said already, the good news is God is the answer. And here's a helpful hint. You don't need to go buy any books or go to any seminars where you need to pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars. You know, Tony Robbins seminars. Who's heard of Tony Robbins before? The self-help speaker, famous for his conferences titled Unleash the Power Within. Oprah Winfrey was on his show and she said it revolutionized her life. These life principles, these goals of life to help you to unleash the power that's there in it within. I'm glad we don't need to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for that kind of material to help us, because the answer is right here in the Word of God. The secret is right here in God's Word. How we can love life and see good days. All right, are you looking forward to seeing what God says? Well, before you do, look with me at a verse there in your notes in the introduction. There hasn't been any blanks yet. Just look with me there at Solomon's statement here in Ecclesiastes 2:17. Now, King Solomon, remember, at a time in his life, chose to do the opposite of what God said. He chose to disobey God. Notice what he says in verse 17. Therefore, I, what's the next word? Hated life. Wow. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So King Solomon indulged in all the worldly pleasures of life. And you know what he said? I hate this. I hate it. You see, there we have two extremes. Peter's speaking about loving life and seeing good days. And here King Solomon is talking about the vanity of life. And the vexation or the grieving of the spirit. And he was saying, I hate life. You see, those are the two extremes. Loving life, hating life. And there's probably a middle ground right there, just existing, just going through day by day. But God says it is possible to live life to the fullest. It is possible to enjoy the Christian life. Now, notice the word finally in verse number 8. Try and cast your mind way back to our last lesson before the holidays. Do you remember the lesson before that? The Bible in chapter number 3, in verse 1, who was God speaking to? He was speaking to the... Verse number 1 of chapter 3, who was God speaking to? The wives, that's right. Likewise, ye wives. So God was speaking to the wives in the home. And then notice also in verse 7, who did God speak to after that? husbands. Okay, so he deals with the home relationship. He deals with husbands at home. He deals with wives at home. And then we go on. Notice what he says in verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind. Have compassion one of another. Love as brethren. So now he's speaking to Christians. And he's addressing their relationships to one another. Now this is interesting. Because Peter connects the relationship of Christians to this wonderful statement in verse 10 of loving life and seeing good days. Well, this is interesting. You see, our relationships with one another and our love for the Lord and love for the church has everything to do with enjoying the Christian life. And that is, in fact, the context of the statement in verse 10. Loving life and seeing good days has everything to do with your relationship and my relationship with one another right here at Coastline Baptist Church. And perhaps, as we will see in this little lesson this morning, perhaps you and I aren't enjoying the life that God has given us as much as we should because something is missing or something is not right when it comes to our love for the brethren. All right, let's look at Roman numeral number 1 this morning. Here's your first blank. The word is family. Our family is to be of one mind. Now, by that I mean Christian family, church family, brethren. Notice in verse 8, we already saw what it says. The writer says, be ye all of one mind. Now, the Christian is someone who's trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Bible says, very simply this morning, adults and young adults, the Bible says, if we're going to love life, we need to develop relationships with other Christians. We need to develop relationships with one another in church. Others that have trusted Christ as their Savior. That's what the word brethren mean. Whenever you see the word brethren in the Bible, it's referring to men and women, girls and boys, children, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Finally, be all of one mind. And God wants us to realize as Christians, we all belong to the same family. And I'm sure you're like me. Have you ever thought about the reality that so many of us that come from so many different backgrounds, walks of life, completely different birthplaces, cultures, speak different languages, have grown up differently? How could we possibly all be brought together in one place? For what reason? You know, usually the same kind of people get together for different reasons, clubs and sporting social events. But what do we have in common? The Lord, and more specifically, salvation. Amen. God wants us to know that we all belong to one family, and that family is a precious thing. That family is an important thing. See, God puts tremendous importance on our relationships with one another, especially when it comes to loving life. Now, the Lord said in John chapter 3 and verse 7, we don't become members of God's family by being religious, do we? The Lord said, you must be born again. We can only be born into the family of God. We cannot earn our way in. We cannot work our way in. We are all born physically and we must be reborn spiritually. We must be born again. There must be a time in your life that you put your faith in Christ for your personal salvation once and for all. There must be a time where you repented. You realize where your sins were taking you and you turn to Christ to save you from your sins once and for all. And if you've trusted Christ as Savior, my friends, you have become part of the family of God. The family of God. And a local church is a group of saved and baptized believers that have joined together voluntarily, not by force, amen, voluntarily to fulfill the Great Commission to serve the Lord. The Bible says here in verse 8, we are all to be of one mind. Of one mind. Can you see with me this morning the tremendous importance that God puts on our relationship with one another? Could it be that we're not enjoying the Christian life as we should because we're not putting the emphasis where God puts it? Could that be true? No, so often we put the emphasis on different areas of life. We try and focus on perhaps, I don't know, building up the bank account. You know, money will make me happy. That's got to be number one. That's priority. But yet, so often we find, and I've found also, we're all the same. We're all made of the same stuff. Money cannot satisfy. Wealth cannot produce joy. It does not lead to loving life and seeing good days. In fact, Solomon found out, I hated life. Hated it. He had everything. Every woman he ever wanted. All the money he could ever get his hands on. And he hated life. You know, if we follow God's word, we can enjoy life. We can love life. And I'm afraid that many Christians don't enjoy the Christian life because when it comes to the brethren, the church family, the family of God, well, that's just something that's tacked on to life. That's just something I get involved with in my spare time. And look, if I can get a blessing from church, great. But if I can't make it, or if it's not convenient, or if it gets in the way of other things, well, it's not important. You see, God places great importance. Great importance. And it has everything to do with loving life and seeing good days. You know, church is not a refueling station. Sometimes that's how we treat it. Come to church, get refueled, just like we put petrol in the car. When the tank is full, I'll be all right for a little while. Now, church is much more than that. Our relationships are much more than that. We are a family. Amen? Wow, a family. The family of God. We are all to be of one mind. Now, how are we to treat one another in the church? Notice verse number 8. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Look at the preciousness of the local New Testament church. Can you see what God says? Our church family, our church, which is an assembly of believers, it's not a building, our church is a place of support, isn't it?
Yes.
Be pitiful, be courteous. God is saying, I want you to help one another in the church. I want you to encourage one another. I want you to lift up one another. Thank God that we can come to a place where we all are united with one mind because we have one Savior. We have one faith, amen. We have one Bible, and we can encourage one another. And you know, the Bible says if one hurts, the other should grieve with that person. If one is rejoicing, we are all to rejoice with them. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we focus on the fact that the time is at hand, and we are in the last days, brethren, the Bible says our greatest need is to forsake not the assembling of ourselves. Amen. To get together more often and to know each other even more and become closer as a church because the time is at hand. Because the days are evil. You see, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what God says. That's His advice. You know? Imagine if God was standing on the stage right now in place of Tony Robbins on the stage. Would you come to hear what he has to say? Imagine if he said, come unto me, all ye that labor, it's for free. Come. Let me give you something that will revolutionize your life as a Christian. Do you want to love life and see good days? Yes. Yes. Well, what is your relationship like with other born-again believers? What is your relationship like with those in the church family? What's your relationship like with the church? The church is a place of blessing. Let me encourage you, brethren, we have something precious. God has given us something precious. And worship together ought to be something we look forward to. Fellowshipping together ought to be something we enjoy and stay back for and look forward to. Praying together ought not to be a chore, but ought to be something that encourages us and each other as we pray on Wednesday nights and special meetings, and when we outreach together, when we are involved in missions together, when we disciple others, when we visit others, when we serve in the church. That ought to be something precious that we get involved in and look forward to. You know, if we are involved in church life, we'll have a more joyful life. We'll have a better life. That's what God says. I'm thankful that when I was saved into a good church like this one, And I had the privilege of just being in a church that loved people. You know, they loved me before I was saved. Picked me up. Took me in. Preached the gospel to me. Challenged me about my salvation. And then helped me and loved me throughout my young Christian days. You know, thank God for the New Testament church. I hope you're thankful where God has put you. But don't take it for granted. Because if we want to love life, there's much more to it. There's much more than we often think. You know, yesterday morning we had a men's breakfast, and I know not everyone could make it. That's okay. But those who did, we had a great time. We had a great time of just enjoying some fellowship and, of course, having some food. And the greatest blessing was just sharing some prayer requests. You know, talking about some things we can pray for. And then as men, we had just a short time of prayer. But even though it was short, it was such an encouragement. It was such a blessing, such a help, you know, to me as a father, as a husband, as a man, as a pastor. You know, I need Christian friendships. I need Christian fellowship. I need other men to encourage me. And I want to be a blessing and an encouragement. We have a church family. And God says, if we want to love life and see good days, well, we need to be of one mind. We need to be together. Amen. Now notice with me, secondly, our faith must be demonstrated. Our faith must be demonstrated. The next blank is the word faith. How are we to treat one another in the church? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. What's the next word? Love. As brethren, we are to love one another. The Bible says we are to love and care for one another. That is what the family of God ought to picture. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love one another in the family of God. Now remember, love is an action word. To be pitiful means to be tender-hearted. When someone is struggling, when someone is grieving, put yourself in their shoes and then offer as much encouragement to them as you can. Sometimes they just want someone that will listen. If you feel inadequate to give any help and you say, well, I don't know where I can show them some things from the Bible, just listen. Amen. Oftentimes when we are struggling, we just want someone who will take the time to listen. Already that's a big help. You know, be pitiful, the Bible says. Be courteous, that means to be kind, to offer help when we can, to do right. And our faith is not just being present in the church, but it needs to be demonstrated. Can you see that? Here are some action words. God says, I want you to put your faith in action. Don't just sit there. Don't just attend. Be a family. Be a family. Be a family. He wants us to be a family. He wants us to demonstrate our faith. And I'm thankful we're not alone in our trials. Amen. We're not alone. We're not alone in our trials. We're not alone in our griefs. We have a church family. We have a place of refuge. We have a place of encouragement. We have a church family there that we can visit with, that we can pray with. And in this wicked world, the church is just that much more precious, isn't it? You know, I'm sure there are people in your life, as there are in mine, that are only friendly because they want something from you. And as soon as they get what they want, well, forget about the love. The love's gone out the window. Amen? But you see, in the church, it's different. We love one another because Christ first loved us. Totally different motivation. Totally different spiritual life. Why would a stranger love you and stranger love I in a place like this? Why? Because of the love of Christ. Amen? That's what bonds us together. You know, and I have to admit, some cultures say blood runs thicker than water. Well, the blood of Christ is even thicker than that, amen? Absolutely. When we are saved, we are born into a new family. As much as it breaks our hearts, we have family members that we no longer spend that much time with. I'm not saying we ought to reject them and ignore them, but there's a huge difference because we are supernaturally reborn. We are born into a new family. God has given us a family to help us. He wants us to take responsibilities. You know, I think of many teenagers today. They just want the blessings from the family. They don't want the responsibilities. You know, they want their pocket money. And as soon as mum and dad gives them the money, well, see you later. I'm not doing any other chores. I'm disappearing. I'm going to spend that money. Lots of teenagers, lots of kids want the blessings from a family, but they don't want the responsibilities. Let's not be like that as Christians. Amen. You know, sometimes we come to church, we just want the blessings, but we don't want to be responsible to be a blessing to others, to serve others. Remember our memory verses a couple of months ago, serve one another. The Bible says, how do we love one another? Well, we serve. We serve one another. We set up together. We serve in different ministries together. We reach out at times of outreach together. We serve the Lord and enjoy the blessing of the family of God. Now, our faith must be demonstrated. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful what we respond. Notice here are some negatives, but the Lord wants to remind us here. Notice in verse 9, some things we shouldn't say. Notice he says in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, what is God saying here? Let me summarize it very simply. A church family is filled with sinners that are only saved by the grace of God. That's what God's saying. He's saying, brethren, imperfect people like you and I make up a church. And at times, and time to time, someone is going to say something nasty, something they shouldn't have said. And that's just the reality of being in a church. Don't be surprised. And God says, for us as Christians, my will for you is not to retaliate. When someone says something that's evil to you, don't retaliate. Don't take revenge. Isn't that what God says? Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. God doesn't want us to take revenge. The church is a place for forgiveness, not revenge. It's an opportunity to exercise the forgiveness that Christ has given us. And God says your initial response shouldn't be saying something nasty back or even justifying yourself. You know, so often we say, hey, that's not right. You shouldn't say that about me. I didn't. You know, what does God say? He says, say good words. Say something that's a blessing. Pray for them. Pray for them. And we need to realize that the church is a place of forgiveness. Now, of course, in order to forgive that person, you need to seek reconciliation and talk with them, and they need to apologize and you need to forgive. But don't retaliate. You know, sometimes we retaliate by saying something nasty in return. But you know, another way we retaliate so often is we leave church. We stop coming. You know, that's a form of revenge. It is. Well, I'm not coming anymore. I'm leaving. Well, that's a form of revenge. And God says, no, 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 no. We need to behave like we would in a family. You know, imagine if every time a husband and wife had a disagreement, one of them left and didn't come back for a while. You know, that's what the world does. But in God's family, it ought to be very different. There ought to be forgiveness. And of course, part of that means when you and I face a difficult situation, something that's said which isn't nice to us, don't retaliate. Amen? Don't run away. Don't use that as an excuse to abandon the family. Bless and do good. Pray for them. And remember, the devil is out to break up the family of God. There is something much greater taking place in the church, which is the opposition of Satan wanting to break apart that family. Don't forget, we are to demonstrate our faith. Be careful what you say. Amen? And when it does happen, and it will, something that's unkind is said, remember, the Lord is our defender. Amen. The Lord will work in that person's heart. Just pray for them. Don't be nasty in return. Bless them. Do good to them. Isn't that what the Lord said? Amen. Absolutely. Do good to them. We need to all work on that, don't we? But look with what the Bible says. Thirdly, our Father wants us to love life, doesn't He? He wants us to love life. This has everything to do with loving life and seeing good days. Verse 10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." If we want peace in our hearts, peace in our home, peace in our church, we need to make a choice. Because God says, "For he that will love life," here are some things that need to be done. You see, it involves a choice. Loving life involves a choice. Can you see that with me this morning? Yes or no?
Yes.
Is that right? A choice doesn't just come naturally. A good life does not just come naturally. It involves a choice. Well, we all need to work on these things, let's be honest. All of us. All of us need to work on our tongue. James said, "And our tongue is able to start a fire that is so great, it is almost impossible to put out. So difficult to put out." The tongue, your tongue, my tongue. What are we to refrain from? Well, very quickly, we are to refrain from evil. Evil. Anything that's evil, anything that's wicked, what does God say? Don't say it. Zip your lips. Hold it back. Okay? Whatever's not pleasing to God, especially what is worthless, things that are depraved. You know, the world jokes about sick, depraved, perverse things. That should never be something that a Christian jokes about. You know, God says, no, don't speak about those sort of things. Don't use evil words. Speak no guile. That means simply dishonesty. Dishonesty. When we are not honest, we are demonstrating guile. Now, that includes lying. That includes gossiping. That includes cursing. God says, if you want to enjoy life, you need to, what does it say? Refrain. Refrain. The more you and I allow these kinds of words and conversations to take place, especially among each other, we're not going to see good days. That's what the Bible says. Ultimately, we will have to face the consequences of our words. Amen? That's what God says. If we want to love life and see good days, refrain from these things. Eschewing evil. Eschewing evil. What does eschewing evil mean? It means to avoid evil, to remove our feet from the path that we know can lead to sin. That's the same thing that God says when he says, avoid all appearance of evil. Avoid all appearance of evil. We are to make sure, as Christians, we don't get involved in things or do things that even have the appearance of evil. You know, so often we ask the question, well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? Well, we need to ask the question, what's right with it? Amen? What's right with it? We ought to have some standards in our lives. So as we see one another living the Christian life, we won't be a discouragement. We won't be a stumbling block. We need to see, okay, is this path going to lead me to sin? Well, I need to get off that path. I might be a bad testimony to someone in my church family, to one of the little ones. I need to be careful. They're watching my life. What decisions am I making? Notice ensuing peace. Now, this is important. This is something that we are not to refrain from, but we are to do. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And this simply, picture with me, you and I pursuing peace in hot pursuit, running after peace, running after making up with someone we've had an argument with, ensuing peace, making sure that that is our number one goal. When there's a problem in a relationship in church, I'm going to do everything that I can to take care of it, to ensue peace. That's what God says. Amen. And if we were to do these things more often, refrain from the evil things and do the good things, we would have a much more enjoyable Christian life in the church. And that sometimes means saying sorry. Believe it or not, there are times that Christians will need to realize that we are not perfect, we are sinners saved by grace, and we will also need to say sorry. There are always two sides to the coin, as I say. You know, when something evil is said about us, sometimes there is an aspect of truth there. Not that it justifies the statement, don't get me wrong, but, you know, we should always ask the Lord, "Lord, search my heart. Lord, maybe there's something that I've missed. Maybe I should have become been more kind in this area. Maybe I've said something wrong here. Lord, is there something in my heart that you're working on? Remember, the Lord is in control of our relationships. But he desires us to have a close, spiritual, supportive, encouraging church family. And lastly, God is very serious about it. Notice what he says in verse 12 to conclude. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. You see, he hears our prayers when we do good. He hears our prayers when we do right. Notice what the Bible says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Why do some churches fall apart? Because they're full of Christians that are too proud to forgive one another. They are full of Christians that are too proud to say sorry. They are full of Christians that are too proud to love one another and to forget about their own agenda, their own issues, and to be a blessing and a support. You see, God says here that he will bless the church that loves one another. But he'll be against those that do evil. God hears and sees everything, amen? And the Christian life is too wonderful to waste. Is there more to the Christian life than we know? What do you think? There always is. There's always more. There's uncharted territory. And for many of us this morning, it could be our love for the brethren. Perhaps that's what's missing in our lives. A closeness that is missing. And we say to ourselves, oh, look, I don't have any close friends. And I'm saved. And I try to make friends with people in the world, but they're just not on the same page. Well, they're not. They're not in the book of life. You know, they're not in the Lamb's book of life. They're not on the same page at all. And yet we try and develop relationships and try and make it work, and it just won't work. We won't love life and see good days because God has created a family for us, a church family, amen, to support one another. You know, during the funeral on Tuesday, it was such a joy. Again, I know, let me say this, not everyone could make it. It was such a blessing and a help to me to see some of our church family there. There to support, there to encourage. As I did my first funeral, I was as nervous as you can imagine. And I knew the Lord was there. And you could see the Lord bless. It wasn't me. But hey, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We're all made of the same stuff. And such a blessing to have that encouragement and support. You know, we can be such a blessing to each other. So let's enjoy life. Amen. Let's not ask the question, how is this going to convenience me? Let me say this, revolve our life around church life. Amen? Our life ought to revolve around our church. I know that sounds dictatorial, but it's not. God says if we want to love life and see good days, get on board with my program for life. Amen? If it's the right kind of church, let's enjoy it.